must have excellent computer skills and experience with software applications. Also, you must love the Lord and understand Christian terminology. For an in-person interview, call 904-262-7777 and leave a message. First Conservative Baptist Church is an equal opportunity employer. Thanks for wanting to serve the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Just before the break, we were talking about how the Southern Poverty Law Center is in a congressional hot seat over funding the KKK and other groups. This is Mike Hill. I'm out of Pensacola, Florida, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. Been doing that for 36 years. Before that, I served 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served in the Florida House, the Florida State House, from 2013 through 2020, representing 1st District 2, then District 1, in the Florida Panhandle. Which, by the way, brings me to this point. You know, all this redistricting, which is going on in several states, including in Florida, where the Supreme Court justifiably and correctly made the opinion that you could not draw seats for a racial preference. You cannot gerrymander a seat for a racial preference. We had that in Florida for a number of years. And the whole idea was it was to allow blacks to get elected. And, of course, they were always Democrats, so it was simply helping the Democrat Party. Well, more recently, the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that, and they struck it down in Louisiana. And so the Democrats, and blacks in particular, were up in arms, saying that this is going to remove the black vote. We won't have a voice anymore, which is nonsense. It doesn't do any of that. So for those of you who don't know, I am a black American. I was elected first in 2013 in District 2 in the Florida Panhandle in a predominantly white district. And won re-election in 2014. I then ran again in 2018 in District 1, again a predominantly white district, and won. I ran again in 2020 and would have won, except the GOP establishment was against me at that time because of my stand against Florida's red flag laws, and because I also I was against Florida red flag laws, and also because I filed a bill called the heartbeat bill without Republican approval before I did it. So the establishment was against me, and I didn't win my election in 2020. But that's okay. My whole point that I'm making is that a black American can be elected in a predominantly white district. Even if you look at Virginia, the lieutenant governor there, Sears, Newsom Sears, she was elected as lieutenant governor. It all depends on what is your political stance. I ran on as a constitutional conservative American and won, and so did Newsom Sears. I received some of the black vote. Newsom Sears received some of the black vote, but they were completely against her when she ran for governor, the Democrats and the black vote altogether. So it's nonsense for them to say that the black vote won't matter because we are drawing these lines correctly and properly to, as they should be, and not to benefit any particular race. I think that is the way it should be. That is constitutional, that is justified, and that is righteous. But now, let's get back to this Southern Poverty Law Center, the SCLC, and its congressional scrutiny they faced just yesterday with a hearing of the full House Judiciary Committee focusing on how in December, how the Subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government and the Justice Department just recently indicted the SPLC for fraud related to its paying $3 million to the leaders of a white supremacist organization. So they're supposed to be an organization fighting white supremacist organizations, and here they are giving them money, millions of dollars, so that they can then say, see, they're white supremacists, now give us money. And it's so hypocritical. They are disgraced. The SPLC should be disbanded completely after this. The witnesses focused on the SPLC's mission creep from starting bankrupting the Ku Klux Klan to smearing, this is what the SPLC went to, smearing mainstream conservative organizations, including the Family Research Council, the Alliance Defending Freedom, Turning Point USA, and Focus on the Family. The SPLC was smearing these conservative organizations. Why? Because they were conservative, and the SPLC has been taken over by radical leftists, much like the entire Democrat Party. Americans, here's Tony Perkins, a quote from Tony Perkins, who's the president of the Family Research Council. Americans once associated the Southern Poverty Law Center with fighting the Ku Klux Klan during the Civil Rights era. That reputation gave the SPLC enormous moral credibility. President Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, goes on to say, but in November 2010, SPLC shifted its focus beyond violent groups and began targeting Christian organizations opposing efforts to redefine marriage and human sexuality. Perkins testified before the Judiciary Committee. Family Research Council was among the most prominent of that first wave. And they inspired, the SPLC inspired attacks on the FRC headquarters. So here they are brought before the House Judiciary Committee And I'll tell you, nowadays, folks, it almost just elicits a yawn out of you because they're brought before these committees, they hold these hearings, and then nothing happens after that. Nothing at all. All these hearings that you see there on Capitol Hill, nothing happens after that. And it gets frustrating after a while. Let's hope that something happens after this hearing and this particular topic. But I'm not going to hold my breath about that. Let's go on to another topic. Oh, and by the way, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And if you would like to join the discussion, you can call in at 904-831-0917 with either a comment or a question. Here is a huge thing, of course, that affects the entire Western Hemisphere. The U.S. indicts Cuba's Castro for massacre of American citizens. You know, this is huge. This is just as big as the United States arresting Maduro and bringing him back to the United States for trial. So now the U.S. has indicted Cuba's Castro for massacre of American citizens. The memory and pain of several Cuban-American families in Florida may finally find justice starting this Wednesday. Yesterday, May 20th, on that very day when Cubans celebrate the founding of the republic that preceded the Communist Revolution, a federal grand jury filed formal charges against Raul Castro for a massacre that took place 30 years ago. For years, the anti-Castro exile organization Brothers to the Rescue, HAR, flew small planes over the Florida Straits, searching for Cubans fleeing in small boats or handmade rafts, crafted from most any floating material, and alerting the U.S. Coast Guard to rescue them. A humanitarian effort. Nothing wrong with that. And by the way, it was in international waters. However, on February 24th, 1996, four of the eight HAR activists took off in three planes on a routine mission from Florida, unaware that two Soviet-built MiG fighter jets were taking off from the island of Cuba with orders to massacre them. In international airspace, air-to-air missiles tore apart two of the HAR Cessna 337s and four of their crew members, three of whom were U.S. citizens. So, Raul Castro was the one who gave the order for them to shoot down those planes with Americans over international waters. That is a criminal act. So he has now been indicted, and hopefully he's going to face justice for what he has done. Let's hope that he does. Now, oh, yeah. Back to how I started the show back at the very beginning about the Dow Jones hitting over 50,000. That is utterly amazing. And how Trump has stated that he expects it to get to 100,000 before the end of his term. Now, I don't know if that's possible. It would be amazing. I'm talking about the timing before the end of his term, which would be coming up, of course, in 2028. But in hitting 100,000, I believe it can do that. And this is why I believe it can do that. I read an article not too long ago where the journalist who put that article together also believes that the Dow Jones can hit 100,000 because of these factors. One, the artificial intelligence data centers, which are going to be going up here, and in fact, as we speak, they're going up all across America. The chips that are going to be necessary to run this are being manufactured in America. So because of those data centers, that's one big factor. The other is because of Trump turning on the energy sector back in the United States with opening pipelines, starting or building new refineries or getting refineries operational again, with fracking, with drilling being done in Alaska and other areas where the Democrats prevented it from happening. So nations coming to United States to buy our oil and gas, nuclear plants going up around the United States. First, the AI data centers, our energy infrastructure, which is booming, and also because there are foreign nations investing in the United States right now to the tunes of trillions of dollars. So what we are seeing is a golden age, which President Trump calls it, of economic prosperity. And so the Dow Jones, I believe, because of those factors that were mentioned in an article that I read and others, that Trump removing unnecessary rules and regulations which hinder trade, that we are going to see again the United States becoming a great nation with an economic boom far better than we have ever seen in the past. And I believe that the Dow Jones is going to hit 100,000. Utterly amazing. And if anyone has a retirement plan, either at work or you started your own individual retirement plan or investments, I think you are in for a fun ride coming up in the future. Of course, the market will always have its corrections and it goes up and down, but I think overall we're going to see the slope of that line continuing onward and upward, and in particular with what we are seeing with the Trump administration. And that is why it is so important, ladies and gentlemen, that the Republicans keep a majority in the House and in the Senate so that President Trump can finish the agenda that he has unleashed on America, which is bringing prosperity like we haven't seen before. As Trump has said, the United States is now the hottest place on the planet. Countries from all over want to invest here because they see the potential of making money. Trump wants to strike deals not only with China, but also with Russia. In other words, let's do business together that's going to benefit both of us, instead of fighting each other all the time and spending all the money on military, even though Trump is also wise in getting our military in a position where it needs to be, because there is peace through strength. Now, the Senate is also doing a hearing right now. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. And if you would like to join the discussion, you can call in at 904-831-0917. The Senate is holding a hearing featuring the CIA COVID cover-up. Have you heard about this one? A whistleblower sparks unexplained behind-the-scenes anger and shock from the CIA. Of course, this is the CIA that was under the Biden administration. What a crime wave that was. What a train wreck the Biden administration was. And thank goodness he only had one term. Americans came to their senses, and despite Democrats cheating, they cheat in every election. They have to, otherwise they won't have a chance. It's wrong. It shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be tolerated. And that's why we need the SAVE Act passed in the Senate. The House has already passed it, which will help get rid of this election fraud. Essentially, it says you have to have only a U.S. citizen can vote in U.S. elections. You have to vote with an ID, have to have voter ID, and we get rid of these ballots. We get rid of early voting, that you go and vote. And if you do use a ballot, it has to be validated that it is actually you who is doing this. None of this mass mail-in balloting, none of this counting ballots weeks after the election. That's how the Democrats cheat. We do need this SAVE Act. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's so important that as Republicans, you get out and vote. Get out and vote in the primaries. Get out and vote in the general election this November, because we have to keep this momentum going. The Democrats have made no secret of it, that if they take the House and the Senate, they are going to impeach Trump. They are going to nuke the filibuster. They're going to pack the Supreme Court. They're going to make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states so that they can get more Democrat representation in Congress. Their goal is to have the Democrat Party take over forever. They want to be in power, and they want to control the United States, even if it means destroying our way of life, as we saw it happening under the Obama administration. It was short-circuited by Donald Trump's first term. Biden got in through cheating. The 2020 elections were rigged, and everybody knows it. And so Republicans came out in a wave. They made it such that it was too big. The voting on the Republican side was too big to rig, where the Democrats could not rig the elections with their cheating. We need to see a repeat of that again this November, and also in these primary elections. Elect the Make America Great Again, the MAGA conservatives. Elect them to office. And I'm going to put in this short plug here. Myself, this is just personally for me. I'm looking forward to voting for Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins for governor of Florida in our primary, and hopefully then in our general election. So back to this article about the Senate hearing featuring the CIA COVID cover-up. The Senate Intelligence Agency Public Affairs Director Liz Lyons didn't wait for whistleblower James Erdman to deliver his bombshell COVID cover-up testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee on May 13th. By issuing an extraordinarily unusual and blistering condemnation of the panel. The committee acted in bad faith by subpoenaing an agency officer for testimony today without notifying the CIA, despite having already obtained closed-door testimony from the individual previously. The witness testimony today is not appearing as a whistleblower in pursuit of the truth, but in response to the subpoena issued by Chairman Rand Paul. This proceeding amounts to nothing more than a dishonest political theater masquerading as a congressional hearing. as the CIA has already assessed, COVID-19 most likely originated from a lab leak, and efforts to undermine that conclusion are disingenuous, Lyons declared. Now, in his testimony, Erdman, a career operations officer with the intelligence agency at the center of efforts early in the COVID pandemic and continuing throughout the 4 years of former President John Biden's administration, told the committee that an internal investigation group assessed as early as 2021 that COVID originated in a leak from a Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. And we have a caller on the line right now, Derby, my friend Derby. Yes, what is your question or comment, Derby?
Yes, I'd like to address the issue of immigration, about the invasion happening to this country. Right now,
yes,
we have
please.
Chain immigration, but what we need is chain deportations, mass chain deportations, because the demographics and the culture of our country is changing too much.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. And why is it changing, Derby? Because when they come here, they do not embrace the American culture. They do not want to become Americans. Instead, they keep the culture where they're from. They don't want to integrate once they come here. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and the answer to that is what we need is the La Reconquista, which is the reconquest, which is what Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain did in the 15th and 16th centuries.
Yes.
They simply told the Muslims, either you get out, you convert, or we kill you. But nobody has the guts to do it, not even Trump. So the way things are going, we or your children or grandchildren will be living in a Muslim country that is not the country that it was a great country in the 50s and 60s, not anymore.
Well, Derby, if we continue on the trajectory as you are speaking, allowing all this foreign invasion to come in, which, by the way, Trump has stopped at the southern border. There are still people coming in, but it is minuscule compared to what we saw under the Biden and Obama administration. There are deportations which are taking place, but I know what you want to see is larger mass deportations, as Obama did, as Bill Clinton did. We need to have millions, tens of millions deported out of this country. And regardless of whether or not you want to embrace our culture, you need to come in legally. All of you who arrived here illegally, you do need to be deported. I agree with you 100% on that, Derby.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-2.